All right, it's the Kegs and Eggs.
We are fueled by Dos Equis. I have a Dos Equis cocktail for the end of the show. We're happy to have them back for a second year here on the Kegs and Eggs as the title sponsor. And I do enjoy a Dos Equis from time to time. I enjoy a Tim May from time to time. He has been the lead football beat writer for the Columbus Dispatch on the Ohio State front going back a very long time. He is the authority on where the Buckeyes are concerned. He's a great friend of mine. I take great pleasure in bringing him on every week. Tim, thanks for the time, bud. When I look at this game, there's a lot to take from it. I'm curious what you take most from Ohio State's opening win over Indiana.
That indeed there were some changes offensively from a scheme standpoint, where they were attacking teams, and it was kind of like watching a fighter plane kind of warm up and have to go under the tarp a couple times to get the engine tuned up, and maybe stick them on some guys' gloves. Of course that's illegal, but yep. You know what I'm talking
I do,
about
yeah.
From a confidence standpoint, and I'm mixing all my metaphors here of things I love, but bottom line is, second half, that the offense really took off, and from from what I'm talking about is from the big play aspect. Clearly, the Paris Campbell drop in the on that skinny post route to the end zone, perfectly thrown ball from JT Barrett, that would have really changed people's minds, I think, about the offense. But I'm just talking about offensively. Defensively, you knew they were going to be pretty good. You know, this is Indiana's a team. I think I told you this. You know,
yeah.
when you're a team like Indiana, why not throw the ball? Because that's your best shot against a defense like Ohio State, just like Clemson against Alabama. I mean, the good defenses, where they're frayed at the edges, that's where you've got to try to attack. If you have some success, you can maybe stay in a game and maybe steal one. But, you know, they weren't going to line up and run the ball on Ohio State. And finally, Ohio State tightened up the screws on the pass defense, and you saw what happened. But, yeah, it was a methodical kind of exercise. But in the end, Ohio State wins the game by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And, you know, I'm sure you see it too. You see so much criticism for JT Barrett, and he goes 20 of 35 for 300 yards on through the air, 3 touchdowns, 60 yards on the ground, another touchdown. It's like a ho-hum, 364 yards, 4 touchdown, no turnover game, right? I mean,
yeah.
that's the thing with him, because he doesn't wow you physically, because he's not Braxton Miller running the ball, and he's not Cardale Jones with throwing it 75 yards down the field. He's just good at everything, right? And so I think sometimes fans and even analysts get, more so fans and analysts, get bored almost of his steadiness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the thing about him, you know, there were some times Thursday night when a couple of guys ran bad routes and it looked like he threw a bad pass. You know, Marcus Ball ran a what's the equivalent of a post corner in the middle of the field one time, and a midpoint of the field one time, and just kind of like went out there and did a little pirouette instead of like continuing his route, and the ball, which JT had already thrown, was looked like just a poorly thrown ball, when in fact it was a poor route. You know, they're just little things that you have to kind of pay attention to. But what you know, Bo, I hate to keep harping on our history, you and I.
Yes.
But bottom line is, what I've said all along, you know, throughout watching Ohio State's offense is, you know, why don't you hit more receivers on the run? I mean, you know,
I know.
Why don't you work the middle of the field? Well, what did you see? What did you see Saturday, Thursday night? You saw Paris Campbell on a dead run catch a ball that hit him right in stride.
Yep.
He goes, 74 yards with it. You saw Johnny Dixon. You saw him clear out the middle of the field. He runs just a simple stop right in the middle of the field, wide open, middle of the field, turns and burns for, 54 yards. And, that was a third of the passing yardage. But
well, hold on. I want to jump in. Let me jump in, Tim, because maybe this is where you're going, so maybe I should have jumped in, but I will anyway because we interrupt each other all the time. I was just going to say, you hit on something that, to me, I said in the lead-in in the show, that was the most important thing that happened in the game on Thursday night, is Dixon and Campbell having those two plays, because I believe that what those kids don't lack talent, they just maybe lack some confidence. And so now maybe they have it. When you make those plays, now all of a sudden you say, you know what, I am 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Both of those guys had, you know, it was like a microcosm of their careers so far. Both of them had ridiculous drops in that game. I mean, the first ball he threw to Johnny Dixon, it looked like it must have it must have been 350 degrees hot because he never caught it. You know, I mean, right, the first bobble and drop. Yeah. You know, and in Paris Campbell, it took him a while to get over that that drop on that post shot. And he'd had another drop earlier in the game on a, like, over in the flat, you know, a play that a good receiver makes. You know, he couldn't handle the ball. It was a little high. And but then, like you said, they got the plays they needed to kind of get the confidence going. And if it carries over, you know, you can see the scheme-wise where this could be going under Kevin Wilson and Ryan Day. I mean, the differences. As a matter of fact, I'm writing about that for our Sunday paper. People can read it on dispatch.com late tonight or tomorrow. And you know, through the fog of it all, Ohio State wound up with 600 yards total offense, yeah. You know. And, I mean, you know how it goes, man. I mean, people remember – sometimes people around here remember more how you started than how you finished. And,
I know.
You know, that's kind of unfortunate.
It is. You know, Tim May, Columbus Dispatch, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford hotline. Let's talk about Dobbins, who is clearly special. And you and I have talked about him privately going back to spring. This is a kid who's always flashed. He's somebody who you knew was going to be a big part of the offense. I mean, when you give a freshman number two, you expect him to be really good, and they did. So he's been that. He was great in the debut. I think sometimes people sleep on Mike Weber's talents, 1,100-yard rusher, 6 yards a carry a year ago. Tim, it's my belief that what Ohio State will be offensively is a dual-headed monster of those two kids running right at you. And I know they're going to do it out of the spread, and JT's going to throw it 20, 25 times. But to me, I think back to, like, maybe how Auburn, you know, was with Cadillac and Ronnie, if, you know, 10 years ago, where I just think they're going to be power run and then throw off of it, and that both of those guys are going to get a lot of carries.
Well, that is Urban Meyer. That's what he wants in a nutshell. You know, when they've been at their best, that's what they've done. And he's never going to get away from the power aspect of things, because in the spread, if you can get a power running game going in a spread offense, especially an up-tempo spread offense, you're really hitting, you know, you're really playing all the instruments in the orchestra there. I'm looking for the best analogy I could come up with. That's all I could come up with. But, you know, you've got the bass horn going, and you've got the violins going out on the outside. Yeah. That is really tough to defend. And you're right about J.K. Dobbins. I mean, you know, I'm not sure people slept on him. I've got a story. I don't mean to keep harping, you know.
No, go ahead.
My website, but
I encourage you.
Dispatch.com. I got a story in this morning's paper, you know, talking about his high school coach talking about, they gathered together and watched that game. He and his coaching staff did the other night, because, number one, LaGrange, Texas was very much affected by the flooding that went on down in Texas over the past week. So their game this week was canceled. And, you know, part of his hometown, J.K. Dobbins' hometown was flooded and affected some of his, you know, kin folks. It didn't affect his mom. But the point is, that coach was telling me about him last year, about what he was going to bring to the table. And what you have to understand is he hadn't played a full game since the last game of his junior year, because he broke his ankle on the very first play of the year last year at LaGrange and never played again. So people had kind of forgotten about him. But if you're paying attention in the spring when he enrolled early, and in preseason camp when he got all these carries in place of Mike Weber, who was nursing a hamstring strain, you could see what was coming. And boy, those, you know, as I let off my story with today, those two straight little jump cuts left that he made on his first big run, those aren't average plays. I mean, that's a special kind of back, and anybody paying attention can see that. And now you couple that with a 1-2 punch, him and Mike Weber. That's what they didn't have last year. Curtis Samuel, bless his heart, was a Rob Peter to pay Paul at running back, and he delivered some big plays as the backup running back from that hybrid back position. But now they've got two guys that not only can cut it up between the tackles, but look like that's where they're really going to make their money, and that changes everything for the offense.
J.K. reminded me a little bit of Warrick Dunn, if you remember him. I know you do, but if our audience does, his ability to shit, you know, those jump cuts, you know, to get vertical, to horizontal, to get vertical. There aren't many guys who can do that in a hole, and Warrick Dunn was just a master at that about 15 years ago, well, maybe 20 years ago at Florida State.
Spin,
I guess I'm showing my age.
Spin in a heartbeat.
That's right. Yeah, just that nimble, you know? I mean, and
bigger.
He is bigger than Warrick Dunn, too. Yeah, right. And Warrick had a hell of an NFL career and is one of the great running backs in the ACC history. I know you are a student of college football, my friend. I know you'll be – what does your day look like today? How are you building it around the games today that you're going to try to take in?
Well, I'm whispering because I'm trying to act like I'm very much involved in a honeydew kind of list situation, when in fact my plan is to watch as much football as possible. When you look at Michigan, Florida, when you look at Alabama, Florida State, I mean, there are some huge impact games. You know, a while ago I was watching the Longhorn Network pregame show there with Ricky Williams and those guys, you know, because like you, I'm very interested to see what's going to happen down there in the Tom Herman era.
Sure.
And you know, I've watched a lot of their stuff, and, you know, it's really funny because, man, Tom Herman has not, I'm not saying he's plagiarized, but he has copied amounts of the Urban Meyer approach, and it's hilarious. They even have a black stripe on the helmet thing down there.
I think you can use the word plagiarized. I think he's taken everything.
Well, that's why,
copied everything.
Well, one of the great things he ever told me, you know, after his second year at Ohio State, there were some people interested in him, and as he said, he wanted to stay. He wanted to win a national championship before he left because he wanted to learn everything there was he could from Urban Meyer. And the funny thing about it was he actually agreed to the Houston job before they played for the national championship
back in
14. But he felt it coming. But bottom line is, yeah, he is. And I'm interested to see that because, you know, you and I both know Texas is one of those sleeping giants.
Yep.
When it gets going again, it's in the hotbed of talent, one of the great states for college football talent. I mean, look at Ohio State, the way it went in there and made the big raid of 2017 of signees, you know, and they're back there knocking on the door again. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting day to sneak around and watch some football.
You know what you need to tell your wife if she says, "Hey, Tim, what are you up to today? This is all I want you to tell."
What I usually say is, I'm up to 6'2½. Go ahead.
Here's what you need to say. Say, "Sweetheart, Saturdays are for the boys. I'll take care of it on Sunday. Saturdays are for the boys."
But my problem is, you've got your boys. My boys are 30 and 27.
But that's fine. Saturdays for the boys. Watch some. Hey, buddy, I appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week for Oklahoma.
You got it. Always a pleasure, bud.
Always a pleasure.
See your boys and sit out, man.
I'll do that. That is the great Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch.